I am unashamed. What about you?
You see, this is exactly
I anticipated
that it would make Jay's nervous. Which is perfect.
Are we ready to start rolling?
Yeah. Well, Missy, put your ears on.
Oh, sorry.
It's mainly for you to hear your level.
Look, you got to get used to.
Oh yeah.
You want to be
being close to the mic.
Yeah, see where I'm three or four inches away. Yeah.
Oh God, these things. Do you have child ones? My head is like tiny.
Yeah, let's get the child cans, Josh.
I'm not kidding.
I'm as nervous right now as I've been.
There's child, look.
Yeah, I had to adjust mine.
Oh, they're all the way down.
It's only on one side, though. It's not right here.
Help me, Lisa.
I've never heard anybody ask for child.
I have like a turtle head.
Well, I think you should just run all this.
What? No.
Yeah. I mean,
the Missy sits down and starts asking for child earphones.
Well, see, mine's got the little thing right here. Yours doesn't have that. You want to wear these? You want to switch?
Can we just? Do y'all just want to not do this?
No, we do want to do it because I want to throw you under the bus a couple of times.
I'm usually not a high maintenance person, but
really.
That's all right. You look fantastic. Can you hear? Can you hear yourself?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
There you go.
I'm nervous right now.
Why is this so funny? Ow.
Because.
I mean, I've been thinking about this for a while. It's hard to make Jason nervous about something, but bringing Missy on the podcast has accomplished
it. Upended your world.
Why are you here, babe? I just thought that's not a threatening question. I was giving you the opportunity.
It sounded a bit accusatory.
She's here to defend herself. Throw her under the bus.
That's the first thing she said. So Jace tells all these tales about you on these arguments y'all have, and so we only hear one side of the. So I approached you a while back. I was like, you've got to come onto the pod. One is our fans and listeners ask about you guys all the time. Tell us about the women. Why can't we see the wives? You know, because you know they're used to it from the show.
Obviously, we're hidden away because you're nervous to have us in public. Which, think about how ironic that is.
I just said I was nervous. I didn't say why.
Well, why are you nervous, Jace? Why don't you tell the audience why you're nervous?
Well, Yeah.
That's me. I thought I turned that off.
Rookie move.
The fact that you started listening to the podcast.
Period. That's the
one. That was it.
Well, so, is there something that you want to clarify?
No, I just figured that if you know, we do a lot of talking, and even though like Jay came on and a little birdie told me that he had a different version of the story about the Sandhill Crane.
Yeah.
So I heard what he said. Complete false. He got that totally wrong for the record. So anybody, the last time Jay was here saying that he did all the call and I was doing a vocal rendition of the sound Sandhill Crane.
Well, the way that went down, so I said, Jace told the Sandhill Crane story and he said, so I said, you need to listen to it. He did. And he said, he just made up most of that story. He said,
he made up making up the story. So I figured, you know, I've talked about you on the podcast. I try to be.
We did a whole podcast about some argument y'all had, and then Jace made a list.
I don't even remember.
Wait a minute. I think I'm the one that should be nervous to be on here. You seem like you've got it all together.
He made a whole list of rebuttals. I can't remember the. We do a lot of podcasts.
Let's move on.
Okay. Somebody needs to tell me what episode that is.
We would have to arc. Jace tells so many stories.
Way to back your brother's play. No, I do remember I fixed the dishwasher. I remember that.
Yeah, that was a story.
Okay, hold on. So what does the word fixed mean?
Yeah, I want to hear that one. That's a good one.
I put two cinder blocks under. It was a balance issue.
Let's not go over this. It's really not that exciting. Okay. It's really not.
And it's still there, though.
I still have a cinder block under my fixed dishwasher.
I did an update on this story a while back. I said, are the center blocks still under the dishwasher? And he said, yes. And so that shocked me because I thought that's very un-Missy-like to just leave the center blocks there. But
oh, I left the house. I moved to Austin.
I have a guy, Missy, that can fix that for you.
No, I've seen y'all's guys, Lisa. I'm not so sure it'll be any better.
It's fixed. And the center blocks are a reminder that I have a certain set of MacGyver skills. It's not my specialty.
I wouldn't call him MacGyver.
It's kind of a redneck MacGyver there.
About he can take a toothpick and a stick of, you know, bubble gum and fix a...
Build a nuclear bomb.
Oil gasket.
That's more like a Jimmy Red fix, I think, what you did to that.
I'm proud. So, well, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're just talking about life, Jess. We're just here to meander and ponder. We got the women on. We have... It's our podcast is so man-centric that I like having the ladies on. So Mom and Dad and Lisa and I were on one that was very well received. So I've been wanting to have Missy on. Lisa and I have been battling mice. The freeze drove the mice into our house.
What?
Oh yeah. So I didn't know
we do live in a trailer.
Well, yeah, we do. Oh, you mean we're in the double wide out back. Lisa's the queen.
It's a very nice trailer.
It is. Lisa's the queen of my double wide. Yeah. So
well,
so
it's manufactured house.
Manufactured house. That's right. Mm-hmm. We got to get and it is nice. But so I noticed it because Lisa and I have been eating a lot of avocado. We love avocado. So I get up in the morning. I go in the avocados. I thought it was like some kind of fruit flies or something because it would be just the outside, like it was shaved off the outside of the avocado. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at that and I'm thinking.
That's when you should have called me because that kind of stuff does not, when I see that, because when we were kids, you didn't get the tracking hunting skills.
I was more of an instigator. That was my talent.
I'm always looking around our house at the dung of whatever animals.
Well, that was the thing. I didn't see any. And
no, but if you're looking on a daily basis,
I guess so.
You because they always leave a trail.
Well, it took me a week to figure it out. It was a mouse. And so
I saw it.
And but you saw it a little after we figured out we had a mouse problem. So then we're like, so my deal was, look, I'm a person that's giving. I mean, if you would live here and not eat my food or bother me or poop everywhere, I don't mind if they live in the walls. I mean, you know, what? I grew up out here. They lived in the walls all the time.
Yeah. Well,
as long as they don't mess with me.
I think we have to exercise our dominion as caretakers of the animal world. Once you come into my house,
your
life is at extreme risk.
Because they're not paying rent. They're not, you know, paying for the air conditioning. They came in to get warm. Which again, you live in your place. Lisa's all these things. You know, so but then they got up on the counter. Now you're an intrusion. Mm-hmm. So we got to kill them, right? So Lisa and I, I should have called Jay's. So we have no experience. So we bought some mouse traps. We set the traps. Well, we set them wrong. So now this thing
the first two Al broke.
I broke the first two trying to set them, and then I figured I set them right, and I didn't.
This is borderline embarrassing here.
Well, it is. And so wait till I get to the end of the story. So I set them out. They're eating like kings now because we're baiting the traps with peanut butter and avocado pieces, and every day we come in, they've just eaten it off the thing, and it didn't spring.
This is all terrible.
3 days of this. So finally Tony comes over, and Tony says, oh, I'm from Iowa. I'm used to my... So Tony sets the traps correctly.
So
first night, bam, got him.
Tony's skill set is that he's from Iowa?
That's his skill set. That and he can paint.
He knows.
Hey, I'm from Iowa. I can catch mice.
That's what he said.
Is it a corn thing? Because they have a lot of corn in Iowa.
Farmhouses, maybe.
We had them at the plantation because it's surrounded.
If you're out in the middle of nowhere,
sprayed insulation.
Hey, do you
remember?
Tell the story, Jay. Speaking of mice, and I'll finish my story in a minute. But tell the story about the trailer.
Yeah, I think I've told this story.
I don't think we've
told
it on the podcast.
But this is where I developed the mouse catching skills because Phil had a camp. Now, it was a trailer, but it was a trailer that they had gotten off the side of the road.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't as nice as that.
We'll make that. I mean, it's literally somebody said, here, take this. And Phil said, I'll take it. I mean, it's I don't do that. You know, if I see a couch on the side of the road,
which by the way, we just passed four couches outside on the way here.
It's like when I'm walking through the woods and you run up on a t-shirt, you're like, I know there's a reason.
Does that happen often?
Oh yeah. And whatever happened there, you don't want to touch it.
So if you see any kind of man-made object on the side of the road or in the woods, you stay
don't touch that.
Way away from
don't touch that.
But Phil takes this trailer, puts it on a hill, water starts coming up. This is the duck hole. We only use it for a camp. And one of his buddies had been staying there like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put, and he was from Washington, I think.
Yeah.
We pulled up and this guy had gone crazy.
I think he may have been crazy, but
you could tell something had happened, and he's like, the rats. He kept mumbling about mice and rats. We opened the door, and I would say two dozen went scampering. I said, I need some mouse traps. So I go up, get some mouse traps, and look, when I got to about the third one, I'm setting, I got two dozen mouse traps. The first one went off. I was like, well, hey, buddy. And this went on for 48 hours. Called over 200.
And then somebody got the glue pad, which is how we finally got ours.
Mm-hmm.
And it just covered them. I mean, they were just like crawling on top of each other.
So then we went to the poison. But that was a bad move because they go to water, which we figure we're surrounded by water, but they all went to the hot water tank. And what happened was they literally insulated the walls. They died so much, they became insulation because the smell started going. So Phil started ripping the wall, just the looking. And it was the solid, dead mice. And I said, what are we going to do? And Phil's like, burn it. That's how we left that hole, with a trailer on a hill in flames. It was the war of the mice.
You know, sometimes all you could do is just burn it down. That's left.
I remember you may not even remember this. It's been a long time ago when we lived in our house on Swiss Street. So that's been 25 plus years ago.
That was your first house.
That was our first house. Yep. And so it was a little wood frame house. And, you know, we remodeled it through the years that we lived there just to basically get it livable. We bought it off HUD. Like, we had to, you know, the HUD Housing Association, where you had to, like, put in a bid, all of that. So we were super proud of our first house. Well, I don't know if y'all know my fetish with, like, I can't do bugs. I don't like bugs. I don't like anything to do with them.
Why you married me. That's one of the few skills.
I married an exterminator, basically. So here, I give him a chance.
I didn't know you had a bug.
I don't like them. When he would take me out on the boat to go, like, on the river, I'm looking at that boat and I'm like, I don't want to get in that boat. There's more dangerous things to me in that boat.
There's a lot of stuff crawling around.
I'm like, I'm like making myself the smallest I can possibly be sitting on that seat. And I'm just like what Jay says, I have my head on a swivel, on a swivel. Yes. I'm just looking. But in our house on Swiss, we had those water bugs. It's an old house up on blocks, you know, and I cannot stand those water. We call them roaches, but they're those big, black, ugly water bugs.
Yeah, they're big, fat.
They're like over an inch or two long.
The same one that crawled in Willie's ear. Yeah.
Okay. So different story. Okay. So we try these different exterminating companies, and they're just not doing what I feel like should be done, which means eliminate them. We get a new exterminating company. And all of a sudden, they are inside the house, like even more. So I go to bed. I don't know if you remember this. I go to bed.
30 years of marriage have been filled with screams and terror over bugs.
I actually have a Jay scream.
Yeah.
That when I scream his name, he comes with a fly swatter. Like, it's something in me that.
Or some sort of weapon.
Something. So
you know at this point that there's some kind of
he's coming to kill
some kind of varmint.
I've had people over and the scream happened and they're like, what in the world? I'm like, it's a creature. It's something with claws or hair.
Hang on. Let's take a break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So, okay, so I go to bed because you were playing poker one night. And so I went to bed by myself, and there comes a water bug crawling on the headboard over my head. Mm-hmm. And so I call you. I don't no cell phone yet. I'm finding out where you are. I call over there. You get on the phone. I'm like, you have to come kill this bug. I can't go to sleep. You're like, are you seriously telling me that I have to get in the truck and drive over there and find this water bug? You were not happy. I said, yes.
Did I come?
And you came. Oh. At that point, our marriage probably depended on it, because I had to go to work the next day, and you know how I am about my sleep. So I was like, it has to happen. And you came, and I don't think you talked to me the rest of the night. You were mad, but
did
I was like, I have to.
Bug?
You killed the bug, and I was able to go back to sleep.
So this is in your first couple of years of marriage, because that was pretty early in this situation.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just can't believe I did that.
I'm from Ward 9. Bugs don't bother me.
We grew up.
I can kill anything.
But that's good. So look at that, Jess. We've learned something about you we never would have learned had Missy not been on the podcast, that you were chivalrous and you came home to your damsel in distress and killed that water bug.
That's it.
I have no idea what that just means, but
well, I remember calling the exterminating company saying, you're not doing your job. And they said, well, actually we are, because we're flushing them out of the walls. And when they flush them out of the walls, then they'll die of the poison. I said, just let them be. Let them live in the walls. So I kind of see your point with that.
That's where I was with the mice.
They can have a party all day long inside my walls. If I never have to see them, I'm fine with that.
So we kill the mouse. Nice pitch back, Missy. So we kill the mouse. And, you know, we're thinking we're done because we had only seen one. Well, I didn't realize, you know, they come in packs apparently. And so I put my avocados back out. I don't have to hide them anymore. Everybody's happy again because they're ripening, you know, on the counter. Come back in, big hole in the avocado again. I thought we killed that guy. There's more. Mm-hmm. So then I got the stickies and put them out. First night out, we got three. So, which is a little bit more, because when you come in, they're alive. Now I got to kill them. You know, the mousetrap will just break their neck. But now squeaking around, looking up at me, you know, just scratching on the thing. And Lisa's like, I don't know. What are we going to do
I'm
now?
Like, I'm not.
I said, well, I'm pretty good at killing stuff. So I just took them and I put them in a bag, took them outside, and then just, you know, killed them. And so I didn't have a problem with that. But now my question is, are there more? Because I thought about the poison, but I ain't crazy about that, because I remembered that story.
No, the poison, no good. Yeah.
Because I don't want them dying in there. Then I got to smell them for whatever. You know?
We're going to buy some more sticky things.
I think we
today.
Need more sticky traps. And just keep hunting them until they don't.
You got to just go all in. You got to eradicate the problem. You just keep setting the traps, looking at the tracks until.
Well, I have kind of an obvious question. Where are they getting in? And can you just plug the hole?
Well, I don't know. It's up off the ground. I don't know if it's not exactly you're up off the ground, which is why we grew up with that over, you know, mom and dad's house.
You know, we have an ice maker, so that could be that hole. We have the cable vision. They drilled a hole in the floor for that.
Jay was saying, I mean, they just need this much space
they can make themselves really small. I mean, you got to take them out.
And they're not, and like I said, I'm not necessarily offended by them. I just don't, I can't share my food with you. And they poop everywhere.
I'm offended because they poop everywhere.
Yeah, that's rude.
And
I mean, just
nasty.
Go poop somewhere. I mean, who just poops in the pan drawer?
And you know, they carry diseases. I don't want them in my house.
So we talked about, you mentioned the first, one of the things I want to talk about today on the podcast, because you guys, obviously, Lisa and I have been married, I guess about, so y'all got married in what year? 90?
90.
And so we got married in 84.
I was fixing to say that. What are you looking at me for? Like, I have that tattoo.
I didn't even put it to the
soul.
Test.
30 years of bliss.
All right. Well, first of all, this just, I hadn't planned on this story, but it just struck me. So I've got to, because Jace told the story about, we've all told the story about that none of our in-laws wanted us to marry our wives. Everybody was a hard no.
Should I not have said that?
It's in the book. It's well documented.
But so we've made mention of that. None of our in-laws liked us at first. That's not true. They didn't want us to marry as young as we did.
Correct.
So, but I want to tell the story about, so y'all got married and you're going to Hawaii for your honeymoon. We've never told that story on the podcast before. Now that Missy's here, I would love to.
I think I shared that.
I don't think so.
I had, big dreams. Let's go on a honeymoon to Hawaii and let's take $800 to cover that. Now, granted, this is 30 years ago and $800 may not have been, as much.
Well, y'all got married on August
now.
10th.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember because it was like a week before Jace's birthday, which factors into the
story. 6 days.
I think we went through that $800 in about an hour.
Basically.
I was embellishing for effect, but that's not enough money to go to Hawaii.
You can't get out of the airport with $800 on Hawaii.
Okay, so I'll say, we did not plan well. So my dad flew us there on his frequent flyer miles. We didn't have to pay for that.
I forgot about that. So I guess we had patched things up by then.
Oh, goodness, yes.
He gave her to you.
That's right.
Well,
no,
he just didn't stop it. I don't think he ever said, I'm okay with this.
Oh, good grief.
I just think he
walked her down the aisle and gave her to you. So,
but the last time I had seen him before that moment was that his phrase was absolutely not.
The last time was a year and a half before we got married. Are you saying you never saw my dad for a year and a half?
I saw him. He just never came back and said, oh, yeah, I'm fine with that now. He just didn't say.
It wasn't as much of him giving her away. He just kind of stepped back.
That's it. There was no reconciliation. I kept remembering the last time I said, well, we're going to do it anyway, with you or without you. There was never a moment where we got back together and said, you know what? I've thought about that. Let's go with it. That's why I was a little nervous about.
Well, can you say that there is any bigger fan of you than my dad at this point in your life?
That's exactly. I agree.
We've come a long
way.
There
is no bigger. Me. But besides me, it's my dad.
Oh, he lives in some Jace now.
We've come a long way. I mean, because you got to remember, we had three instances in consecutive moments that were all bad. First was me proposing to his daughter. That didn't go well. Number two, he calls me and says, there's a storm coming. I was like, yep. Because now I realize he does that every time. He's like, it's a hailstorm. You need to make sure you got all your vehicles in. I said, I just put them out. He said, what?
I forgot.
What are you talking about? I said, I just got the vehicles out there and I'm praying that they get hammered by hail
for the insurance
which I totally get it. Any good redneck is exactly what you do.
He said, but it'll ding up your vehicle. I said, who cares? They'll pay you for that. Who cares how it looks?
That's free cash money.
And he just got offended. He said, but you'll be driving around. Look at it like that. I was like,
his pristine cars are very important to him. So he doesn't understand why you would do that on purpose.
So then what was the third thing?
The next one was I pulled my truck that I had bought for $1,500. It was a great deal.
With hail damage.
I parked in the driveway. He had...
At my house before we were married.
He said, hey, does your truck leak oil? And I thought, oh, He's recognized that, and he's going to give me a quick way to fix that. I said, yes, it sure does. He said, do you mind moving it off my driveway?
That's true.
I said, well, isn't that what the driveway's for?
Not in suburbia.
So, I mean, you know, didn't start well.
It was a culture shock. Everybody was saying how Phil and Kay were going to have this big culture shock. But whenever we got married, and it was really my parents who had the culture shock for sure.
Well, to embrace the redneck mind takes a lot. So tell us about, you get married, the next day you're flying to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So walk us through what happened. Because there was a series of unfortunate events.
Yes. So
there was really just one. I got sick.
That led to, yes.
I mean, I got strep throat.
Yes, and he wouldn't let me call his mom. He wouldn't let me call anybody.
You can't call your mom 3 days into marriage.
I can if I'm like, I don't know what to do.
That's an unwritten rule.
And I also was not used to the fact that you do not like to take medication. You're like, nope, I'm just going to tough it out.
I wonder where he gets that from.
I'm the son of a guy who refuses to take any deadening. For any procedure. I mean, the man has had a root canal and his teeth extracted with no deadening.
He had like some kind of thing cut out of his back, like cut out without any kind of anesthesia. Or
he
anything.
Had a rod stuck in his eye.
Yeah.
And we stopped at the eye doctor and the says, okay, I need to deaden this and we'll get it out. Feels like, no.
Just get it out.
We're all sitting there. I was like, I have to go outside. And they pull this out of his eye while he's just sitting there. Yes. I mean.
So that was another thing is he's like, he didn't want to take any medication. He just felt really bad. Wouldn't let me call anybody. So I spent two days in a hotel room in Hawaii crying.
Really?
While you slept and ran fever.
It was sick.
Yes. Well, and I didn't know what to do, and I couldn't go out by myself.
Hang on, let's take another break. So, ladies, another thing we talk about quite a bit on the podcast are couches and beds. Mm. It's amazing how many of our sponsors, and you guys know because you fell in love with the Helix, right?
Oh, yes.
Because we got our houses are full of Helix mattresses. Well, the company Helix, they also have a company that they created called Allform, and basically they make sofas. And so they sent us one.
Yeah, we have one. Yeah. I love it.
And you're always, so it's got like a, what do you call the thing at the end? It's like is it the
chaise?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So Lisa likes to lay down there, you know, at the end of that thing. And so we're doing our thing in the living room. So we love it. And obviously these people make super high quality products. Mm-hmm. And so we're very big on Helix and also on Allform. So basically, if you want to try these guys out, they're going to give you 100 days to decide whether you want to keep it. But none of us have sent anything back. So I think
it survived 6 grandkids.
There you go. So it's also
it's a
tough.
Really good couch.
So you get 3 months to try it out. Jace, you'll love this. They have a forever warranty.
Forever warranty.
Eternity.
Forever warranty.
Sleeping on a Helix in heaven.
That's exactly right. So you go to allform.com/unashamed. That's Allform, one word, Allform.com/unashamed. And you get 20% off. Just for being our listener. So check these guys out. I promise you'll love the couch or the mattress. but you got to the airport, you're going to rent a car. That was before, or I don't know if he's already said, what happened with that?
Well, he's 20.
How do you remember? You remember more about
that's
my
true.
Than
yeah.
I do.
That's what I do.
People are thinking, oh, y'all discussed this earlier. I had no idea this is what we're going to talk about.
Al is a detail person.
I'm a detail.
He has so much useless information.
No, you couldn't rent a car.
We were both too young.
That's right. You weren't. Neither one of you were 21.
You were 6 days from being 21.
Can you not get married when you're 20, 18?
No, you can get married. You can't rent a car.
I was thinking, I didn't remember doing anything illegal.
We didn't. We couldn't. Yes, it was not what you would call your dream honeymoon. We get back literally 6 days, 7 days later with the coins in my purse. We literally had coins in my purse that was left. So
it's
it took
the dream
all
honeymoon.
The 800.
No. It was the honeymoon from hell.
It definitely was.
There was no romantic, which I've already gone on record saying, you know, our first night. was more like a biological experiment because we were both virgins. Yeah. Well, babe, this is part of my
We've talked quite a bit about this in the podcast. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, because those were the earlier podcasts. You've just tuned in late. Because I go out and I share with young people that God's way is the best way, and it's okay to wait till you get married. So I can't do that without sharing our experience. Because then they all want to know, well, how was it the first night? But I got to be honest. I'm like, well, it was more like a biological experiment. We're looking around. Oh.
Trying to figure out.
I mean, let's really, can we just, yeah, we got it. You know, okay, so what you say is, you know, we have three kids, we have four now, we figured it out.
That's what Jay said,
so
we figured it out.
So moving on to, what's next on the agenda, Al?
I'm pretty well just trying to survive this podcast.
Well, I hope the audience is finding it as amusing as I am. So basically, Jay's and I were in preaching school together when y'all were dating. It was the 2 years leading up to this.
It was preaching school for you. It was a Bible study school for me. And I thought, I will never be a preacher.
And it kept up my typing skills.
That's right.
I typed all of his reports.
And then
I had to,
Lisa wouldn't type for me because she don't like to
well,
type.
Well, I typed a little bit. Missy might have typed some of yours.
I think I did, actually.
But I think I skipped that class in school. Every time it came to typing, I think I skipped. But Missy was like, I don't know. How many words a minute did you do?
Oh, she was good.
It was off the chart, but I think it was because of my piano playing days or something. Yeah. But,
so Missy
but
typed some for me as well. And then Mariana Canales, remember I hired her to type some of us, so she was a good type. But so Jason and I were in school together the whole time y'all were dating. And so that was the year we graduated was when y'all got married. So you were fresh out of preaching school, probably. And they had already hired us as interns, but that's the reason we didn't have any money. Is because we were interns for a church. I mean, that is as low as you go.
We came from no money.
Well, we didn't have any money anyway. That's right.
I mean, that's why you're talking about your dad. He was like, I mean, what are your, I shared this earlier. He's like, what are your plans, you know, to make a living? I was like, not much. Firewood, fishing, crawfishing.
Some roofing, roofing.
Which I kind of understand the idea. I was like, this doesn't look like it's going to go very far. Yeah. You know,
it reminds me of that whenever Phil said that on one of the Duck Dynasty episodes. You know, it's like, you can't live on love. You'll starve. We were naive in thinking that. We'll figure it out along the way. And goodness, so many people do try to get everything in line and get their careers going and all of that, and then they, you know, get married. For us, it worked out the other way.
Yep.
It was hard. It was not easy, especially that first year of marriage, you know, and we've talked about that in speeches and in both of our books, but that first year of marriage was not fun, but it was God ordained, and we cannot say that there were some majorly awesome things that happened. It was just hard on our relationship.
Yeah. And that's good. And that's good advice for folks listening, because we have a lot of young people listening to our podcast, people that aren't married yet. And we get that question a lot. You know, how do I? And then we get also a lot of questions from people that are in their first 4 or 5 years of marriage. They're having their first children and they're like, this is so hard.
Well, but there was a spiritual side of that. I mean, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to work hard. I just figured that recipe would work out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I genuinely believe that. But I mean, there was a few times, you know, when I'm hitchhiking, you know, when we get down to one vehicle, it's like, well, this is just not going. You know, everybody's like, oh, stay away from hitchhiking. No, if you need a ride, that beats walking.
Maybe not these days.
Well, when you're driving the hail damaged $1,500 trucks that are leaking oil in the driveway, they have a tendency to maybe not work as consistently as what we're driving these days.
Do you want to tell them about the time you were like trying to open the door, and I was like, these doors don't open. I think that was in the dating process.
Oh, that was.
That was
I had
a
to
test.
Climb through the window.
Dukes of Hazzard style.
I just thought if she,
cause it wasn't that sexy.
I was at a moment where I thought, if she doesn't go through the window, this relationship is over. Because I thought,
how shallow can you be?
That's
I just thought if you were too embarrassed, because, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of things lined up. I thought, I'm in a vehicle that neither door will open. So I thought that was a good test. But when you got in, I thought, okay, we're going along this schedule.
You passed the first test.
I mean, babe, I've been going on record saying I believe this. The only thing we have in common is Jesus, and that's enough.
Yes, that's very true. We don't have a whole lot in common. That's true.
Yeah. In Jace's defense, I will say, even though he talks a lot about a lot of things on the podcast, he talks very highly about you, Missy, on the podcast. And we all do because we love our wives. Let's take another break. So, Miss and Lisa, we spend a lot of time on this podcast talking about computers because, you know, Dad calls it computer land, you know, the internet. Yeah. So we're always trying to explain things to him. And one of our sponsors is a company called ExpressVPN, which do y'all know what that means?
Virtual no clue. Protection Network, maybe? I
don't know. That was close. That was close. Virtual Private Network is what it is. And basically, it protects what you're doing online from other people being able to hack into your computer or to your phone and to get your information. The big thing now on the internet is that, you know, they get your information and then sell it to other people, mm-hmm. which is why you get all these calls and all this stuff. So basically, they're going to encrypt your network data. That's what ExpressVPN does. And it could do up to 5 devices simultaneously. So basically, it can protect your whole family. They're rated number 1 on CNET and Wired, so it's a good company. If you want protection, if you want to hand over your data to big tech, there's some of these, you know, far leftists that are after you, defend your rights with VPN. So you go to expressvpn.com/Phil, which I always find funny that Phil's name is always attached to it. expressvpn.com/Phil. You can get your first 3 months for free. So check these guys out and protect your network. So what I want to talk about a little bit was those early years of ministry, because we were all like, we talked about before, Jace was, I mean, he basically targeted everybody he knew in high school, you know, to try to convert them. I mean, that was his thing, you know, in school and coming out of school. He was, in fact, they didn't even really give Jace a title or a job as an intern. He was just kind of like, go win people, which was, you know, that's, I mean, he's
but got. But most of the work happened from about dark to daylight.
That's right.
And that was what was hard on our marriage. Sure. That was really difficult.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that because you and Lisa both, we were all doing it together, but at the same time, the style in which we did it was not always so easy on marriage.
Well, in a synopsis, what happened was because Jace and you at the same time decided to go work as an intern at the church, I had to drop out of college and go to work because we just got married. So somebody had to make a little bit more money than, I think you were making $800 a month. That's not a lot. Even 30 years ago, that wasn't a lot. And so
we were raking it in.
And we spent our wad. And we spent our wad in Hawaii, which was $800. That was our total, complete financial net worth.
That was a month's wages.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
We took all we had. $800 and wasted it in Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm not recommended.
I think Phil must have told the boys, you got to marry a girl who's willing to work and support you, because that's what all
I think
four
that's
of
what
it.
I realized. Yeah, that's what I realized. But I went to work, so I worked during the day. And then literally two weeks after we got married, a week after we got back from our honeymoon, his best friend, and you may have told this, but his best friend from high school, one of the guys that he had said, this is the way I'm going, follow me if you want to live like this. Otherwise, we're not going to have a relationship for a while. Blake, he came and knocked on the apartment door. It's like, I need to hear more about this. And it was almost what happened was, it's unbelievable if you weren't there around to see it. So y'all can, you can attest to it. But from Blake to Rich, to Jill, I can almost tell you exactly between up to about 10 people, the order in which it happened of them just coming and knocking on our door and saying, so-and-so just said they learned something that changed their life and I want to know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so because people worked, went to school during the day, it happened in our little apartment in the evenings. And then it would go on through the night. I would have to go to bed, get up and go to work the next morning. And because Jay stayed up all night studying, he would be sleeping during the day.
Yep.
And so it just didn't work that first year. We were trying to get to know each other. We were trying to figure out our roles. And then also lack of sleep and just not spending a lot of time together. However, hundreds of people came to the Lord right. out of our little apartment. And it was, looking back, I think, do I remember that correctly? But it really was a phenomenon that God sent our way. Again, wasn't the greatest thing for our marriage, but then maybe it was because we were really just studying with people and talking about Jesus, and God blessed that.
When you were being rooted in the idea of the fruit was being born out of your life, even though it was difficult to do, which we've been studying the book of Acts, and that's what I see in Acts. You know, every chapter is full of trouble. Yes. And yet people are coming to Christ through the process and even in the difficulties. What was interesting about sort of our partnership, and again, we didn't plan it this way. It's just that Jason and I, you know, went to school together and, you know, we both had a passion for people and y'all did too. And we were kind of, Lisa and I were there as sort of that we're 4 or 5 years older than y'all. So it was just old enough where then our role was more kind of discipleship, follow up. I mean, the same people you just mentioned lived with us mm-hmm. during periods of time. Yeah. We had Bible studies all the time going on. And then we did all their wedding. I did all their weddings.
Remember,
you know?
We had the Gospel 101 class out in the back screened in area
right.
at our house.
Right.
Well, you were also my soundboard as well, because I don't know if y'all remember, I was at your house multiple times crying
oh, yeah.
about our relationship.
Yep.
Because a year or two in, I'm so mad right now. I'm so mad at him. And I would go over and would just, you know, you're the older brother and yep. sister, 5 years older. That's a lot, you know.
And by the way, we've done that with every sibling.
Yeah, I mean, can you believe that he is doing this or that, you know? And
these things you were getting mad about, it wasn't like I was, you know, going out there and
no, it's just relationship or, yeah. challenges.
You were learning each other.
Yeah. Yes.
You put it perfectly. You were trying to figure out your own rhythm as a couple.
Yes.
And yet, you know, look, ministry is not easy either. I mean, you know, helping people yeah. all the time, very time consuming. Look, these people were coming out of bad. Some of them were in bad situations. You're very dragging bad. Them out of bars.
And
I mean,
look,
we talked about that.
Look, what we were doing, all of this was good. But I, at that stage of my life, was a little immature in thinking some of these people that just would not get their life right, I just refused. I thought, you know what? If you don't want to go to heaven with us, I'm carrying you.
Yeah,
and I realized that was where I was making the mistake, yeah. which, look, my heart was right on it. Mm-hmm. But just I learned that just some people just don't want to go.
Right.
And you're not going to make – I mean, when I'm sitting outside of a bar in the middle of the night thinking they said they weren't at this bar and then here they come, I've gone too far down the road.
You had to learn.
So they come out
back.
And I'm like, hey, well, yeah. what are we doing?
Yeah.
I thought we buried this guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was part of the problem was it just – We were trying these people.
Well, we need a little more balance, and mm-hmm. we've learned yeah. that through the years. And Lisa and I learned that the hard way too.
Well, again, when you're 20 right. and 19.
Yeah, we're very young.
And
yeah.
Jace, in your defense, when you truly love somebody, these were your friends.
Oh, they were my
friends.
These
were people you grew up with. You loved them. You didn't want to see yeah. them perish. So, I mean, I understand. You know, you wanting to be out there and catching them and bringing them back.
Oh yeah, we did some things. Missy was on a couple of reconnaissance missions with me. I mean, it just.
But I just remember my memories of that era, you know, because I tend to kind of look more of the highlights as you look back. Is you know having house church and that house on Swiss Street or in our house, that big house we rented, and you know just having some really really good times. And so like just yesterday, I'm doing communion at WFR, and I look out there and I see Blake and Shannon, you know, and that was the first wedding I ever did. And now they will have been married 30 years,
yeah.
I think this year or next year. And so I look back and I see that, and it just gives me a good feeling to mm-hmm. know that we walked alongside folks. Mm-hmm. Let's take one last break. So this last segment, see, Jess, this went fast. I mean, you were so worried about it. We're already in the last segment of the podcast.
Look at your body language. I mean, you're just like...
He's just like all tense.
Like a pillar of salt.
I didn't know this is what we were going to do. I mean, we're going down memory lane, bringing up challenges.
Playing the role of Phil today on the podcast will be Jace. It sounds like something Dad would say. All right, where are we going to move on from memory lane? Get to something.
Mind reader.
All right. Well, the last segment I want to talk about is Mia and Mia Moo, because we've obviously talked a lot about her and a lot about the foundation and what you guys have done over the course of her life. Unbelievably, she'll be 18 right on her next birthday.
Yes.
I mean, that's
kind of why we're here today. Missy's, we're fixing to leave today. She has her, I mean, they call it her last surgery. And, you know, this kids with her condition, craniofacial, cleft lip and palate type things, you know, the world doesn't realize, for the most part, that it's an uncorrectable situation. They just manage it as they grow, because it doesn't grow correctly. So a lot of people, you know, they think in our medical world, oh, you have a problem, you go fix it. But it doesn't really work like that. And one of the things I've said before that Missy enlightened me on is that she's never gone 6 weeks of her life without some kind of checkup, seeing a doctor. Which is amazing. Here she is almost 18 every 6 weeks.
Right.
So this is like the last surgery because she's quit growing. So everything they've done, the 12 or 13 or 10.
This is number 13.
13 surgeries and all the procedures. They're basically doing everything again on one last swoop because she stopped growing. So that's kind of what this is about and why we're together. And
so with Mia's condition, all cleft means is that there's a hole. There's a gaping hole.
Yep.
So every cleft child is different because the way that that hole was formed is different. So with Mia, it was a bit more severe than most children. So many children are just born with just the cleft lip. Well, that is more just one or two surgeries and you fix that up. But the palate, because it's surrounded by bone and tissue and cartilage and so many things, it affects the nose, where the nose doesn't have a shelf to rest on. Yeah. All of these different factors. So as they grow, it all changes.
Well, and her
you
gotta
keep up with it.
Yeah, and her top jaw does not grow like her bottom jaw.
Right.
So in this procedure, they're gonna break both jaws, move the top one forward because it won't catch up with the bottom, and they're breaking the bottom one, which is fine.
They couldn't do that until she quit growing to get it.
Well,
they did it before because all these things that, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but they're affecting her breathing, her eating, and her talking.
Yeah.
And especially even her talking, we've noticed here lately, because her bottom jaw is outrunning the top jaw. But I'll let you finish.
There's just a huge difference. I mean, literally almost an inch difference. You know, like when the dentist says, you know, bite down, let's say your bite, hers is almost an inch completely different. And so in 2015, they did this surgery, but just did the top jaw to kind of move it forward.
Right.
And so I had to actually turn a little key and move it a few little, I wouldn't even say a centimeter, just tiny bits where those bone cells could catch up each day. We did that for 3 weeks. And to where we got the bite was...
And that was hard, wasn't it?
It was one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do in my life.
Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, Missy was...
Because it's painful for her.
It's
painful for her. And Mia has a really high tolerance for pain. So, like, I have to really insist that she continue taking her pain medication until she leaves the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, once we get out of the hospital, I know her now because she's 17. We've been through it so many times. She's good with a couple Advil. Right. And to most people, that's just like, what? But her pain tolerance is really high.
Yep.
But, you know, and she's very determined. So when she knows when we have to do these things at home, she just gets in her position. She grabs her dog. She grabs her blanket, whatever it is. You know, Paula Godwin comes over. She would bring a snow cone to kind of deaden that area and make it as fun as possible. So there's different techniques that we've used, but this surgery is like that previous one. But now that she has stopped growing, which is a good thing in terms of the cleft world, because now once we do this is why they're saying this could possibly be the very last surgery.
Yeah.
Once they get this done, if all goes well, her bite will be where it needs to be. She'll be able to speak better.
Yep.
She'll be able to eat better. And it will change the whole entire lower half structure of her face,
right,
which is also going to bring an emotional factor to it, because the doctor even said this last time, which he's never really given us any kind of counseling advice. You know, he's just the doctor. But he looked her in the eye. We've had him since she was, 3 years old, same doctor. And he looked her in the eye and he said, this is going to change the way you look. And he said, it's going to affect girls, we've learned, more than boys. Yeah. So he said, you have to talk to your parents about this, the way you're feeling, the way what's going through your mind, because you, he said, and mom, you have to listen. And if she gets quiet, if she disappears, this is completely a more of an emotional as well as a physical challenge. And so that's why with the MIAMU Fund, at first, I'm very practical. You tell me a job, I'm going to get it done. I'm going to check it off my list. But then we realize, oh, there's a lot of emotional component. Yeah. And we need a support system.
And you guys have walked with a lot of families through that. And by the way, it's MIAMU.org if anybody wants to go and contribute to that. So I remember, I guess the last surgery that was sort of like this one was around 12 or 13 to my memory. But I remember that time she went just from this total change in the way she looked. Mm-hmm. I remember that first time, and she was, whenever that was. And it was awful
for us.
Yeah, all of us, because it felt like she just was, you know, she's the girl that grew up looking a certain way, and all of a sudden she didn't. And so I can only imagine how that affects her, because it affected us.
It's kind of funny because you think, oh, that's the goal. So you're going to look different. You're going, even with the very first surgery that she had at 3 months old, where they closed that gaping hole in the lip. It's like, okay, that's the goal. We want to get that done. But then we fall in love with that face for 3 months. And then they go in and they change her.
Yeah.
And that was really hard.
Yeah.
That was really hard for Jace, too.
Like, all of us. Yeah.
He said it took us, I don't know, 2 hours to go down to the waiting room to even face all of you, because we could not get ourselves together.
Yeah.
Jace kept saying, we screwed her up. We should have just left her alone.
Bad call. Terrible.
It was just super emotional.
We want to see the doctor now. He came out there. We're like, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean? She looks great. I was like, no.
She looks terrible.
This was not what we signed up for.
So we were not given a lot of information before each and every one of those surgeries. So what we've tried to do is, being in that perspective, we want to give other parents the tools, the resources, the information, and yes, the monetary help that they need in order to get through this.
Well, I'll say you guys have been, and Mia too, have been great about that being, and it really kind of wraps up our whole discussion today, because we started talking about how your marriage and family were rooted in ministry, and here we are all these years later now, 25 plus years later, and you're still rooted in that same thing, to trying to help people. And that's what MIAMU does. Missy, show them your book. If you want to read more about the story, and kind of, because Missy chronicles it really well in the book. Yeah, there you go. Blessed, which talks a lot about that. And
this was Mia's idea. I mean, I want to give her a lot of credit. She's handled this better than we have. And this is probably, I feel more inadequate, because it's hard to raise kids already. I mean, I don't feel, you know, great
it's
about
tough.
Yeah, I mean, I've made mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my oldest son, you know, bought this thing called Bitcoin at $200, and I was like, you took all your money and bought something that you can't eat, a coin you can't dig up. He's like, yeah, it's gonna go big. I was like, no. So anyway, that gets to $8,000, and I'm like, you sell that now. And I made him sell that.
Which now would have been
now
worth.
At 60,000. So I have to live with that every day, knowing that I'm an idiot.
He's forgiven you. That's one good thing.
But well, it's just like, the more it goes up, I'm more idiotic. You see,
what
it
you
never
is
goes away.
Keep watching it, and then you're going to have to carve out some special inheritance for
$200. But anyway, and I'm saying with Mia, it's you know, it's tough to. Because you just feel inadequate. I mean, how do I handle all this? I mean, she's having to go through all this, and it's just a tough situation. And so you have to rely on God's word and prayer.
Yep.
And,
well, that's
and us staying
that's
together.
That's a good cue, Jace, because I wanted to close the podcast today in prayer. First for the surgery this week, and for you guys, and just the whole thing. That this is hopefully going to
actually. We've brought her down here. She's hanging out with your mom, Miss K, right now. But, you know, in James, where it talks about us to show your faith, anoint the sick to be anointed with oil and pray over them by the elders.
That's right.
So after this, we're going to get you and your dad, since y'all are elders of our church, to come and pray over her before we head out.
Awesome. That's James 5, by the way. Check that out, because that's a I mean, it says that there's healing and power in that, in faith, no doubt about it. So, well, obviously, we love you guys. We've been there every step of the way, and we'll be there until, you know, until the Lord takes us home. So, and I don't know about the audience, but I've been thoroughly entertained today by this
podcast.
I'm
glad you enjoyed it, Al.
Watching Jay squirm was just worth the whole thing.
I might want to do this again.
We're doing it again. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Well, there's a bunch of stories we hadn't told. That we'll
That's right.
To. Well, let me have a prayer to close this. Father, we love you. We're grateful for family and just, you know, being able to be together through the years and support each other. And, you know, it is tough. This life is tough. And I know there's a lot of listeners out there that are going through tough times too. And I just pray for every one of them, that you'll bless them with the sense of peace to know that they can find answers in you and in your word, and just, you know, to get through that season and to trust you while they're doing it. I do pray, Father, for Mia. Just pray for this surgery. I pray it truly is the last one, that this will be the thing that finalizes all the issues that she's dealt with her whole life. And done so admirably and with courage, and just never seen a more courageous anybody the way she's dealt with this. And so I pray a blessing on her. I pray you continue to grow her spiritually. And I pray, Father, that she continues, and Jason, Missy as well, continue to help people and families through these difficult deals with cleft palate and the other issues that they have. We love you. We thank you for Jesus, most of all, in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.